is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is indeed 360 Biz. My name is Debo Homafori. Welcome to another exciting episode of 360 Biz. It's a beautiful weather out there. When is it ever raining, though? You know, it's something that I've been asking myself to say, you know, it has been hot. It doesn't rain. People have been praying for rain. And it's just hot, Jebulelane.
Nah, man. The thing is, you've been absent from Joburg. We've been experiencing quite a number.
Really?
Of, I'm telling you, quite a lot of rain. And I have to wash my car every other day. And I'm so insecure because I feel like the paint is going to run out or run off as they wash it each and every day. And my costs escalate each and every day. But it has been raining. I'm happy to be on the show today. 360 Biz. If you don't know, I've always wanted to say this on air. If you don't know, now you know. Yeah, happy to be here, man.
Yes, man. I mean, let me take this opportunity, to welcome all the listeners. I mean, we appreciate the support that you're giving us week in, week out. I mean, it's definitely a warm welcome to you. I mean, more than anything, today I'm very excited to be having this discussion that we're going to be having, because I know this is a discussion that's very close to most entrepreneurs out there and most of us that are in business. I know, Bulelani, last time you were on some expansion plan, dude.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been working now for the past, we've been working now for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Started the business a couple of years ago. Don't want to reveal my age. You know what they say about men and their age.
Okay.
They probably don't say anything, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, man. And the most important thing was money and funding.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the expansion. I mean, there's quite a few more things. I mean, we started with the first phase, which was more the renovating of the office and expanding the office walls.
My tender there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, we need more things like equipment. Mm-hmm. We need more things like the new stuff that we want to get on. I mean, obviously a 6-month plan, salary payment plan towards them, and quite a few other things in the growth pipeline.
You're making me hot, dude. I don't know whether is it the money you're talking about or is it the expansion. But something is definitely.
I don't think I should ever make any other guy hot. But it's all right.
Yeah. No. I mean, what you're saying, Bulelani, it's so true. I won't comment about the hot aspect of things, but I'll comment about the expansion aspect of things, because I know as well as a company, we're also setting up new offices. We as well increasing the team. So then definitely this year. And I mean, there's a couple of acquisitions that I must say I'm actually excited that we want to be doing this year. So definitely, I mean, money is something that is standing between us and wealth. You know that.
You know, whenever an entrepreneur says this year we're busy with acquisitions, they're not talking about small change or buying a Spaza shop. So you know, when someone's talking about acquisitions, they're talking about big stuff. So I'm still kind of average because it's just renovations. But I mean, I'm happy to be in studio with the amazing. The beautiful.
Hey.
The, I don't know if I can say the word sexy. The strong.
No,
the
you
powerful.
Can't say it. No,
sexy. The strong. The powerful. I'm kidding.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, funding is a topic indeed that is close to the heart for most business owners in South Africa. And with this series, I mean, we bring you insight not only to the different funding sectors in existence, but we're also going to tell you, I mean, what is the funder suitable in which type of sector that you're in. And more than anything, I'm happy that in studio we have one of the funders. I actually wanted to bring more, but I thought to myself, like, you know, the way this topic is so deep, let's break down one.
Yeah.
And interrogate, you know, and actually hear horror, you know what? I mean, success stories, you know, people that they funded and blah, 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 you know? So it's one of the things that I'm actually excited about. Let me take this opportunity to be introducing the one, the only, the beautiful and sexy, amazing woman that Bulelani was referring to, not me. That is Miss Zama Khanyile. Miss Zama Khanyile is actually with the National Empowerment Fund. Miss Zama Khanyile, how are you, ma'am?
I'm good, thanks. And you, Debuho?
No, I'm good, thanks. Welcome to Cliff Central.
And thank you so much, and good afternoon to the listeners of Cliff Central.
Oh, okay. Do you want to maybe take this opportunity to say hi to the listeners? Tell us what is it that you do, who you are.
I am a fund manager at the National Empowerment Fund.
Can you hear English? Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
And I look forward to talking more about how people can access funding, being that that's my background. So I'm hoping for a lot of interaction with the listeners of Cliff Central.
And Bulena, you know, come to think of it, I know Zam a couple of years now, and she's always been into funding. She's always been into money. Not only that, she's an accountant, but I mean, Zama, maybe before we actually get, what is it about money that keeps you so locked up in the financial sector? I hope it's us entrepreneurs that are keeping you locked down.
Well, they say money makes the world go round, but certainly there's a lot of reward in the work that I do. I get to interact with a lot of entrepreneurs, and you get to see businesses being transformed from, you know, words on a piece of paper to buildings, to manufacturing concerns or service providing companies. So it's quite fulfilling from that perspective. And as you know, we need more entrepreneurs in our country for job creation.
Okay. Then from there, you said you are a fund manager. But do you know what a fund manager does?
Not sure what a fund manager does, but I'd ignorantly assume that you walk around with stacks of money in your duffel bag and issue them out to every needy entrepreneur. Yes, no?
Something along those lines. So typically fund managers would have to first raise the funds that they would then invest in different entities. But in this regard, being an arm of government through the DTI, we get we were capitalized at inception. So that's where the monies came from. So now the job is to invest that money, you know, as wildly as possible across a number of sectors, making sure that you touch both female and male entrepreneurs from the various provinces of this country.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, we both said because you just spoke a lot of English right there. So then from there, then tell me, in terms of now, we've established who you are, where you're from, and what actually is it that you do as a fund manager. But now, I mean, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, like me and Bulelani, obviously, that are listening to the show. And Bulelani wants expansion, I want an acquisition. And maybe before we actually get to the crux of this discussion today, to say, what type of funders do we have, though, out there in the market?
Well, you've got a number of funders. You can either go to a commercial bank or you can go to one of the DFIs, being the development funding institutions, and that's where the NEF falls into.
So the Development NEF, Funding Institute. Yes. Okay.
So the NEF's single task is to fund black entrepreneurs. So if you're a black entrepreneur looking for funding, the NEF is the place to go.
Really? So now, Bulelani, have you thought of going to look for funding, dude?
It was 3 years ago. I was discouraged. Maybe I didn't meet the requirements then. But I mean, all that I'm doing now is purely for my funds. And I haven't thought as yet to go. I mean, I've tried other institutions that I will not name.
Yeah.
But it didn't really go so well. So I don't know what the NEF has in store for us, but I think it'd be cool to engage you guys in terms of, because I mean, there's another platform that we run in the townships where we gather entrepreneurs and we develop them once a month for them to also know about the different funding opportunities that you guys have and whatever programs you guys have. I don't know, you know, as the show rolls out, whatever programs you guys have going on for SMMEs in terms of development, and whether sometimes it's not really funding, but I mean, some form of training and ignition in terms of different programs that you guys run would be awesome, so that, you know, guys walk away with that great understanding. But nah, man, I've never gone out to the NEF for any.
So are you already sending an invite, my brother? Because that sounds like
definitely.
An invite.
Nah, definitely. I'm throwing an invite to Zama.
I'm gladly accepting the invites.
And you must come with money.
The money can come later. But as the NEF, we provide like financial support in the form of money in your bank accounts, but also non-financial support. So we run entrepreneurship training programs. And to date, I mean, NEF has touched more than 2,500 entrepreneurs. So what you're talking about falls squarely within the work that we do. So we'd be happy to participate in those initiatives. And I mean, kudos to you for already starting the business and showing commitment, because that's going to go a long way should you come to the NEF or any other funder, that you have started and proven that there is a need for the work that you do.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
So now tell me, I mean, let's start from the beginning. What is NEF?
NEF is the National Empowerment Fund. Mm-hmm. It came into being after the BEE Act was formulated. Then there was a separate act in 1998 that gave birth to the NEF. It's been in operational since 2005. Mm-hmm. So we've got a strong 11-year history. The NEF is a funder to black entrepreneurs or black-owned businesses looking to start up businesses, to expand businesses, or to buy into white-owned businesses.
Yeah.
So that's basically what we do through a number of products. So we will fund from 250,000 up until 75 million rand. But if your project requires more than that, we're happy to co-fund with other financiers into that project. Mm.
So now I understand how there's different types of funders out there. Mm. I mean, do you want to update us on some of the funds that are out there?
Okay, I can
like a generic before we get to the funding that NEF is.
Well, there's different. There might be angel investors. They may, who may give you equity against whatever expected return. Mm-hmm. There could be, private equity space where you've got the private equity firms that, fund businesses and take a stake in that business as well and expect a return as a normal shareholder would. You can go, if you're big enough, you can get listed and raise funds from the open market. Mm-hmm. Through your initial share offer, or subsequently if you've got rights issues to your existing shareholders. But that's on a grand scale. But if you take it on a micro level, there are a number of entities.
Are you listening? You see, there's micro level, there's grand scale. So we're on micro level.
There are a number of enterprises within that scale, NEF being one of them, CIFA being one of them, focusing solely on small enterprise finance. Mm-hmm. A sister company, the Industrial Development, focused on industrial capacity development. The PIC as well, through their fund division. I think it's called Isibaya, I stand to be corrected. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of places that one can go to depending on the type of funding and the amount of funding that you're looking for.
So there's your NYDA as well. They're offering grants. Yes. Ahead.
Yeah, I was declined for that grant.
Why?
How
much did you want?
I mean, that 100,000, and they told me that over their threshold.
So which is? You said you're rocking in a lot of money.
No. I mean, it was like 700 or 500,000. It's not much. And they told me that I couldn't get that grant because of that, and I could go to see.
Yes.
And see, didn't help.
Oh, okay. At all. So, I was just going to mention that those three entities do have an arrangement where, depending on where you are, if you still need kind of business plan development, the NYDA is there up to that 100,000 rand, and then above that, they take you to CIFA.
You know, my thing is this. Mm. I mean, had I ran my business according to the business plan, it was never ever going to run or even start. Mm. And to a certain notion, to a certain degree, when you go there and you ask for funding, they want this trump load of documentation and paperwork, which to a certain degree, I feel like, but this thing is irrelevant. Okay, well, we've been running for 9-10 years. I've got the track record. I've got the management accounts. I've got the financials. I've got the brochures. I've got the catalog. I've got the management, whatever things that they need. And then they ask you for things like business plans. Then they ask you for things like feasibility. I feel like sometimes some of these things to emerging entrepreneurs become a stumbling block, because had I gone through a feasibility study 9 years ago, I don't even think they would have approved me, because I started from my mom's garage, not even on the main road. It took about 5 years for the business to actually kickstart and actually make any cent. So in the 5 years, I wasn't even making any cash. And I mean, what I'd like to know as an entrepreneur as well, I mean, how stringent or how complex or what are the requirements?
I mean, are there, or not necessarily what are the requirements, because you guys got different funding programs, but are the requirements with you guys as tough as it is for me? Would it become easier for a KZM Taung to get funding from you guys than me? Because, I mean, he might have an army of financial guys and management guys, but I'm just one guy who just wants 100,000 or 200,000 to just build systems or products into the growth of my company.
I think when you approach any financier, the standard request would be the business plan. But obviously, it's easier if a business has been in operation. You've got the history and the performance to rely on as a base. And obviously, that's a bit different from where you've got a new venture where everything is based on assumptions at that point in time, and there's no proven track record. And then the onus is there on the entrepreneur and the investment associated, whatever bank or institution, to work together with that entrepreneur to try and get as much information and clarity on the project as possible. Would someone with a bigger team behind them receive preferential treatment? No, not necessarily. So how the NEF is different, I need to highlight, is we've got a business plan tool on our website, because we understand that not all of our applicants would know how to put together a business plan or a financial model for that matter. So if one goes to the NEF website and navigates, you can find those tools are available there, and they've been translated into a number of our languages, such that if English is not your primary language, you can interact and understand what is required of you. All of this because we understand the business plan is the starting point. It's, the why of your business, and we understand not everyone really has the capacity or can pay a consultant or has a team behind them. However, we've made tools available to our entrepreneurs, understanding that they're all at different levels.
I mean, speaking of what you said, Zama, let's break it down. What goes into a business plan? Because I think I've realized that a lot of people, we come up with all these business plan. We come up with 8 pages.
Yeah.
You come up with 20. I mean, she comes up with 80. So are you guys funding according to the number of pages? What goes into a business plan?
So, yeah, there's no prescribed length for a business plan. I think it needs to highlight the why. What problem are you trying to solve, and how do you plan to do that? So typically, we'd want to understand the why would inform the product or service that you're offering. You'd have to go into detail with regards to that. You'd have to explain to us what your expertise in that level or what your partnerships are with people who've got the requisite skills and experience to help you execute. And then you have to talk to who your market is, so who's going to buy your product or need your services, what is it going to cost to deliver those goods or services, and what are the other running costs. So I'm talking to now the financial aspects, but if I were to bed it down to 4 subheadings, I would say one has to look at the market. Okay. You have to look at the technical or operations side of the business.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell us who management is and why management is best place to execute this business plan, and then what is the financial need, and how will it be paid back if it's being sought in the form of a loan?
Wow. Okay, you've just said quite a bit, actually.
You just spoke a lot of English.
Yeah.
you spoke of the subheads. Can you maybe perhaps break it down? Because obviously the purpose of this, I want somebody that is listening to be able to get it right. I want somebody that is listening to be able to say, you know what, because of that show, I managed to get funding and this and this. To say, now, according to the subheadings, you know, sometimes when you go tender, when you go bid, they'd give you to say maybe 20% it's on BE, you know, 30% it's on functionality, 20% on price. Then you guys, I mean, you've broken down the subheads. But now how do you break down the percentage on those subheads so that at least we know as to which one to mainly focus on?
So the starting point is, who are you selling to? Who wants your product? That can be explained in a number of scenarios. If you are already in advanced discussions with whomever your clients are.
Okay.
They could be happy to enter into an offtake agreement mm-hmm. with you, or they could give you a letter of intent telling you that I'm willing to buy or consume your product, and this is the price that would be acceptable to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have orders for your product, or you can have a market study that says, this is the market, this is my primary target market, they can afford to pay this product because these are the competitors in that space, and this is why my product or service is superior to what's already in the market. And mm-hmm. that's basically attending to the marketing aspects.
Mm. So then now, in terms of I mean, you spoke of visibility study and sometimes, I mean, things like business plan.
Mm.
Then do you guys have a non-financial support offering where you assist businesses put together those business plans?
Mm-hmm.
Or you guys just having a template on the website is enough?
No. We've got through our pre-investment department, we do incubate
pre-investment.
So pre-investment, before we've invested in the business, before basically applications that come in through the door, and we don't have a relationship yet.
It means I need to have applied first.
Yes, could either be an inquiry or a fully fledged application, or it could be through a walk-in or a telephone call or an email that you've sent to anyone that works at the NEF.
Mm-hmm.
If your idea is innovative, strategic, and ticks the boxes from a commercial, a money point of view, and also a developmental impact point mm-hmm. of view, then we do incubate and help you in that process to help you refine your business plan such that it can be ready to be funded at a later stage.
No, it's actually interesting. So now tell us about the different kinds of funds that you guys have as NEF.
So we've got four different funds at the moment, and then there's a fifth one that kind of cuts across the existing four. The four funds at the NEF is Imbewu Fund, which is an SME fund. They look at transactions up to 10 million rand.
Okay.
You've got the Rural and Community Development Fund that looks at transactions where we support communities either in townships or rural areas to participate mm-hmm. in deals that are happening in the space that they live in, so they are a stakeholder to that transaction.
Mm-hmm.
We then fund for them to be included as part of the shareholders through Rural and Community Development.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Umnotho Fund, which is the fund that I look after that does expansions, new ventures, and
We already have funding. We're sitting with
up to 75 million rand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got our strategic projects fund. So our strategic projects fund is where we house our big projects that are developmental and also looking at new industries and helping our entrepreneurs to develop business plan right from the concept up to, you know, a fully functioning factory that manufactures a product and mm-hmm. employs lots and lots of people. And then our fifth fund that cuts across is our Women Empowerment Fund that looks at businesses that are more than 51% owned and are managed by women.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that is the voice of Zama Kanyele. I mean, she's the fund manager for NEF. I mean, responsible for Umnotho Fund. You can join in on the discussion. The studio number is 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is @cliffcentral.com. We're on Facebook as well. Our Facebook page is Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. Our WeChat ID is Cliff Central. My Twitter handle as well is @doublehomer40. And I'm @doublehomer40 on Facebook. Bulelani, what's your Twitter handle?
It's Bulelani. On Instagram and Twitter, it's Bulelani Bala. Bulelani Bala.
Bulelani Bala. Zama, do you have any following handles?
On Twitter, it's Zama Kanyele.
Okay.
Yeah, @ZamaKanyele. One word, no underscore.
No, @ZamaKanyele.
Mm.
No, definitely. When we come back, we're going to actually break it down. Zama is going to tell us to say, I mean, he's told us about the different types of five funding offering that they're offering. So, but now we need to break them down to say, what is Umnotho doing and what are they looking for? And as well, I mean, as to some of the success stories, because we don't want to just hear about money and what they do. We want to hear who have they given the money to and is it working for them. We'll be back right after this.
This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
Yes, you are still tuned in to 360 Biz, and my name is Debohoma40. If ever you've just joined in, you've missed out on an exciting discussion that we're having in studio with the fund manager for NEF, and she's responsible for Umnoto. Because, you know, as entrepreneurs, we're always struggling with this finance, and we said, you know what, let's bring them in and break it down to say what is it that they're actually looking for and what is it that they're doing for entrepreneurs. And obviously, Zama has been the person that has been responsible in actually telling us their service offering and to say what is it that they're doing for entrepreneurs. I know the second part of the show, I definitely want to hear of success stories and some of the amazing things that they've been doing. We've just been reading and hearing. There's others. There's Luminance here. You know, there's Power. There's, you know, there's a lot of them, my brother. You know, so we're definitely going to be hearing about all of that from Uzama Kanyele. And I'm still sitting with my boy, Bulelane, that I'm going to be leaving, running the show with a beautiful lady, of course. My brother, you're the luckiest man alive today.
I don't even know what I'm going to say. I'm going to choke.
No, but I'm sure Zama will be more than happy to definitely resource your ganjan, Zama.
Oh, yes.
No, definitely. So then, Zama, or maybe let me hand over to you to actually hit on with Uzama as to some of the offering.
I like the part where he says to hit on. So let me start hitting. So Zama, I mean, tell us, I don't know, let's start with the success stories. I think we'll go back and then start talking about breaking down, I mean, the Umnoto, but more importantly, the SMMEs funding in terms of how it would work for them and repayment plans, interest rate, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I mean, what are some of the success stories that you guys have?
There's actually a lot, so I will just speak to the ones that come up first to mind, and one being Motheo Construction Group, where we supported a black woman owned and black woman managed. Yes, the big construction company. We've been walking the road with them for a number of years. When we started dealing with them, they were at about a CIDB level of 6 and have subsequently increased to 9. Which
what did you do for them?
We've availed funding. We had a good track record. There was an opportunity to finance them for further growth. We took up that opportunity, and they're one of the clients that we're quite proud of, especially that it's black woman owned in the construction space, you know, taking on the big guys.
Let me leave. I'm going to have a headache, but I think more than anything, let's have a challenge. Let's go and apply, me and you. You know,
and
so that we come and tell people to say, you know what, we got funding.
I'm sure they probably think it was nepotism or favoritism at this rate.
Yeah. Just a good deal.
Yeah.
So that's one of them. Another transaction that we've funded through our strategic projects fund is Busamed.
Okay.
Late last year, they opened up their first hospital in the Western Cape, the first of three. I mean, if you know of the healthcare space, you know it's dominated by the big three, which are listed and white-owned. So NEF is particularly proud to stand behind a group of black doctors to really take them on in terms of, you know, owning a bit of that market share in that space. So, you know, we're into healthcare, and for your shopping needs, there's Eyetu Mall, which was launched in Orange Farm.
Okay.
Also last year, projects we're proud of because we supported the local community to participate in that transaction through our Rural and Community Development Fund, through our Imbeu Fund that does franchising. I mean, we've done a lot of service stations and food retail outlets scattered all over South Africa. But yeah, those are just some of the transactions that we're excited about, and one that's about to be completed and launched to the public is Parkin Hotel in Polokwane, supported black entrepreneurs to build, you know, a three-star hotel that has a four-star offering in Limpopo. As you know, there's a lot of economic activity in Limpopo. Things are picking up,
yes,
and people need to be accommodated in accommodation that is, you know, that matches the level that they expect. So we are proud to support those entrepreneurs behind our parking hotel in Polokwane.
No, quite interesting. And then just tell me, oftentimes you go to different places and you ask for funding and they tell you that, you know, there's certain restrictions with regards to certain funding. Are there any restrictions, especially with the fund that is aimed at SMMEs?
No restrictions, except that what we've agreed that the funding will be applied to, the funding is applied to that and not big cars that were never on the business plan or trips overseas and things of that sort. So generally we will give funding for companies to buy equipment, to buy land and building if necessary, and we also give them working capital to keep them going to start the business off, and also obviously expansion funding.
And then now tell me, how flexible are the repayments? Is there a certain way of a cooling period or a breathing period for one to implement the development or the purchasement of the new equipment and have them running maybe 6 months, a year, or is it immediately after you get the funding you have to start repaying?
The funding that we give you, the repayment period will have to match what the cash flows of the business are showing us the business can afford to repay. So typically, if you look within Umnotho Fund, that's a 5 to 7 year timeline that we can give to our clients. On property transactions, obviously, it lasts a bit, it's a bit longer. However, the thing to take into consideration is that being in the deal-making space, we've written transactions and then seen them actually being implemented. So we know that there are often teething problems and that there may be variations from what we originally encountered or expected from the transaction. And so we've got payment holidays in the form of a moratorium. So depending on what the business need is, we may give a moratorium on either the interest payments, the capital payments, or even both. If, say, maybe there's a construction period of 6 months, there's no way we can expect repayment from day one. Yeah. Therefore, we structure in those moratoriums.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah. Now tell me something. Your interest rate, is it fixed? Or is it based on the company, or rather the funding amount that at that particular moment, which would make it relative?
So for our senior loan, and by senior I mean secured debt that would rank first in terms of how you repay your long-term liabilities, that is linked to the prevailing prime rate. So it would move as prime rate moves, but the pricing is determined via our pricing model, which takes into account the risks pertinent to the project and also then gives a discount for the development impact of the business. So that'll take into account the level of black ownership and black management, women involvement, if it's a youth-owned business, if it's creating a lot of jobs in an area that you know is in the outlying areas and lesser developed. All of those aspects get taken into account in determining the pricing that we would offer at the end of the day.
Nice. And then, I mean, you spoke a little bit about you guys don't just really focus on funding, but there are other
non-financial support.
Non-financial support that you guys offer. What's some of that non-financial support?
So I touched on non-financial support as it relates to pre-investment, so before any if has invested, you know, loans or equity in a transaction. But once you are a client of the any if, and we are through our monitoring process, we realize, or even at due diligence stage, Bulelani, you've come to us with a fantastic idea, you've got the technical skills to execute and you've got the team, however we find that you lack maybe in bookkeeping. The any if, as part of the recommendation from their findings from the due diligence, would then recommend to committee that we appoint a financial mentor to help you out for say 3 to 6 months or however long is necessary for you to get into the habit of bookkeeping, because not only is it useful for the NEF, but for the business to be, you know, standalone and be able to be taken seriously by funders beyond the NEF, because we want to see people kind of graduating our funding and then being in line to apply to the commercial banks as well.
And then I just want to take it a bit back. Earlier on, you spoke about how when you guys give funding out, you're obviously not expecting the guys to be purchasing big cars and whatever. at this particular point, how do you guys keep track of that? Do you buyers pay, do you guys take equity in the business, or I mean, do you have some form of reporting, financial reporting system that reports back to you in terms of whatever purchases? How does it work?
It depends how the transaction is structured. Typically, NEF will not take equity in a transaction. We most of our transactions, we either offering, you know, senior debt, which I said is secured debt, or softer loans, and then in some instances equity. We may warehouse and say, Bulelani, we like your transaction. However, you know, we would like to see a broad-based grouping, and therefore we will warehouse for that grouping, and together we can identify who that group is that would add value to your business. So in terms of making sure that clients do not stray from the path that was agreed on, there's no fail-proof measure, but one of the methods we can use, if you are needing money to buy equipment, you know, the NEF then disperses directly to that supplier and not necessarily through the business. And obviously we hold our entrepreneurs accountable, so they need to give us management accounts on a monthly or quarterly basis, and especially after we've given the money, they need to show us how the money was applied so that we can check if it was applied the way that it was agreed to.
Have you guys ever been caught in a situation where someone came, they pitched, they went for due diligence and whatever the case was, and you guys just refused the funding, but you saw them a couple of months, a year later, all over the media as this company that has just expanded and grown, and you pinched yourself?
I can't recall any of those in my personal experience, to be honest. For the time that I've been at the NEF and for the time that I was at another DFI, I can't say that I've experienced or been, you know, seen that type of situation panning out. It's not to say that it doesn't, but I don't have first-hand experience of that.
Now tell me, what is the hit rate for applicants? I mean, is it one in every 30 applicants that get their funding, or one in every five? How does it work?
I think obviously applications differ in terms of how mature they are when we get them. So we need to take into account that sometimes we get an email and that's how people tell us of what they're trying to do. At that point in time, the transaction may not be ready to be progressed, but we're in a position to give meaningful feedback to say this is what will make it work. So that's not to say that they failed. It's just that, you know, there was a two-paragraph description of what they want to do, or was a walk-in and so forth. But when we go on due diligence, we would have collected most of the information that we require as part of our requirements, and there's a high success rate for the transactions that we do go on due diligence for. I mean, if I were to estimate it, I would put it at about 90%.
Oh, wow. That's very high. I think the other day I had an entrepreneur, a conversation with one of my friends who's an entrepreneur. Mm. He's in the construction field, but he's moving on to different things. And one of the concerns that he raised about funding houses is that sometimes you go to funding houses, you come up with these, you know, large pitches, these large presentation packs. Inside there, you've got feasibility studies, property, who owns that land and all that stuff. And you find that often cases they decline you. But 6-7 months later, you find that the same funding house is funding someone else in the same thingy with the same business concept as yours. And some of the questions that have arisen, but I pitched it to them and then now someone else is getting funding. Initially, the conversation was, this is such a brilliant idea. We've never seen this before. I mean, how do you guys protect some of the pitches and some of the proposals that these guys come to you guys with? Is there a non-disclosure that they sign, or what gives me surety that when I come to you guys with this awesome concept, you guys are going to take it and shelf it if you really don't like it, or take it and pull it out the shelf and fund me?
So at initial discussions, we do sign NDAs, but I just have to highlight, as an investment professional, you know, it is expected of you that you're a professional, you're ethical, you keep, to the requirements of confidentiality and so forth. So any professional really is expected to uphold those values. But let me give you a recent example. There's new technology that is being introduced in South Africa. Now, you may come to me and think you're the only person presenting that pitch, and maybe your technology is, I don't know, call it from the Euro region, and someone else's is from America. really there any if we consider transactions across the board fairly? And the instance that I'm referring to is we had two business people with similar business ideas, same technology, different regions that it originates from that they want to bring to South Africa, and we've recently funded one of them. So it does happen that, but what I'm trying to highlight is there's no malice behind it. It's a matter of who came and was ready with the information that was required, because the one meeting, it was just you know, a meeting across the desk, this is what we're thinking of doing. The other meeting, it was, this is what we want to do, and here's our business plan, and these are the people we've approached in this respect, and these are the people that are willing to give us business based on the concepts, and this is the money that we're willing to put forward to show our commitment and so forth. So other people were just more ready to proceed that, with that transaction. So I just wanted to highlight that it does happen that, I mean, I've thought of many ideas where then I see that someone else is doing it. Does that mean they stole it? No, it just means they were first to act and they got first mover advantage in that respect. So I always say ideas are free, really. It's about implementing, because you can daydream all kinds of good ideas all day, but really it's about actioning those and making sure that it becomes a reality.
No, definitely. For someone out there who's like myself, an entrepreneur, likes getting free money, do you guys offer grants?
We do not offer grants. However, our shareholder, the DTI, does have a number of grants through a number of schemes. So one would have to familiarize themselves with those incentives that are available. What we do offer is that we work in hand in hand with the DTI or any other grant funding body. And usually grants, even though you may have approval, there's sometimes a time lag and performance conditions for the money to be paid out. So you need someone to kind of give you the money on day one, and then when the grant comes in, you use that grant money to repay them and so forth, so that you're in a neutral position. So we do partner up with the DTI, but the NEF on its own, standalone, we do not offer grants. However, we do offer concessional pricing, taking into account the development impact of the transaction, where you could get a prime less interest rates if really you're creating a lot of jobs, you know, designated groups, youth and disabled people, some in a rural area with women involved and black management running that project.
Okay. Now tell me a little bit, Zama, about franchising. I mean, if I now want to purchase a Cecil or a Chicken Licken or whatever franchise,
happy to look at it.
I mean, how detailed is that process?
We've got a franchise finance checklist to just simplify that process. So should you say, Zama, I'm interested in opening up a franchise, we'll just discuss those things, because, you know, you would have to be pre-approved, obviously, by the franchisor. The NEF would have to have faith in that franchisor and that they can offer the support and you know that back office structure to ensure that you do thrive in your franchise. But we funded across a number of franchise models. You've mentioned petrol stations. We do across all the major fuel companies. We do food retail. We, you know, your dent doctors, your beauty parlors as well that have franchise models as well. We do fund in that space.
Oh, interesting. And then just tell me something, just a little bit about the franchising. When you get when you get different people applying for different franchises, are there franchises that you guys are blacklisted to then say that, nope, not that one?
No, not blacklisted. We've got good relationships, especially if you look at the oil majors. We may have some lessons learned with some franchises, and I think the proof is sometimes also in the pudding, in that you'll see the track record tends to talk to itself in the market. But generally, you've got good relationships with the franchisors.
And when I come in to apply for this franchise or to propose to you guys my desire in that franchise, would you guys then offer me suggestions to then say, maybe not that one, but we've got a better relationship here? Or do you think that would cause problems?
It would depend if you're open to that discussion, but obviously, remember, with any franchise agreement, they have to pre-approve you first, so you would have to go through their process and their training and whatever kind of pre-prep you need to go through for them to sign you off and say, yes, we can allocate a site to you. We're not prescriptive in terms of who you should go for. As I've said, we've got good relationships and some lessons learned.
Okay. Yeah. 5 minutes to the clock, we are about to shut down, and we ordinarily shut down in style. This particular point in the segment, I'd like you to inspire or share words of inspiration to the guys out there. Anything just to inspire them, guys that are looking for funding.
I think believe in yourself. Not everyone can be an entrepreneur, so if you've chosen that route, just know that there's something special or different about you, and that you've had the guts to take that first step. And it's not an easy road to travel, but if you're committed to what it is you want to achieve, don't lose hope, don't give up, keep on climbing over the walls and fences and whatever obstacles you may come across. It'll be worth it in the end.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. I think shutting it down, I'd like to then say to you guys, go out there, like she said actually earlier, you talk about some of the things I always talk about, that it's not about thinking about it, but it's about going out there and getting things done. If you've got a brilliant idea, you think it's worthy, move on it before someone else takes it. So we are 360 Biz. Thank you for listening. Download the app. Tell others about it. We are in studio next week again from 3 to 4 with your boy Bulalane and Teboho Mapodi. Thank you.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.